I wonder how many of you have sorted through your books, seriously, packed up a loved library for a move or a downsize. I have friends who have found this incredibly demanding. And we're now to hear why this might be so from one of the literary world's enduring contributors, the writer and critic Alberto Mangel. He's written quite widely, alongside the Australian expatriate Carmen Khalil, for instance, about a love of books. But 3 years ago, he decided to move from his beautiful home in rural France to a New York apartment, which just would not accommodate his 35,000-strong book collection. Such a creative act, he realised at the time, to set up a library, such an exercise of oblivion to dismantle it. He's now the National Librarian of Argentina, alongside his other intense literature interests, and his Packing My Library, An Elegy and Ten Digressions, is a work revealing much more than mere house-moving details, as I think you'll hear. I spoke to him late last week from Buenos Aires.
Thank you.
Why is packing up a library an exercise in oblivion?
Because you forget what is not in front of your eyes, and it has something of a burial. You put things away in boxes, and sometimes at night they come back to you, but for the most part, it is forgetting. It's not an exercise that I enjoy.
Well, no. Well, there's lots of conundrums in your lovely book, which I'm going to try to explore a bit. But certainly that French library that you packed up, full of 35,000 books, does sound glorious. Idyllic, quite frankly. It must have broken your heart to leave it.
Well, these things happen. You think that you are in paradise and you forget that paradise is the place you are condemned to lose. I thought I would end my days in that library because it was so perfect and I was so happy there. But then bureaucracy intervened and all these other nasty things. And then we sold the house and packed the books and left.
How many did you retrieve of the 35,000?
Oh, none. They're all in boxes. But it has grown. You know, there are two things. Books grow and multiply on their own. You leave three books in the evening and you find five in the morning. They breed like rabbits. But when I moved to New York, I didn't move with books, but I knew that books would accumulate, and very soon they did. And after a while, I sent more boxes of books to the storage place that we have. And when I came down to Argentina here in Buenos Aires, the same thing happened. And so I sent boxes of books back to the storage room in Montreal. So now that boxed library has more than 40,000 books.
Oh, no. This is vaguely obsessional.
Oh, yes. But there's nothing wrong with an obsession as long as it doesn't push you to commit a crime.
Well, you have a lovely quote from Balzac, the great French writer, offering a justification, this is one of your books, for obsessive behaviour. An obsession is a pleasure that has attained the status of an idea. I love that.
Quite. Yes, he was brilliant in describing an obsessive collector. And yes, I'm an obsessive collector, but I'm not an orderly person. So I don't collect anything special. I have certain subjects that I'm interested in, but mostly I'm interested in anything. And books that came into the library, I kept just in case one day I would need it. My partner once complained that we had two volumes of an economic history of Nigeria. Why would we want this? And I said, well, you know, one day I might want to know what the production of bananas was in 1926, and there it is on my shelf.
Well, actually, you do say in the early part of your book that you had a cornucopia of interests. You collected thousands of detective novels, but very few spy stories, more Plato than Aristotle, the complete works of Zola, hardly any Maupassant, all of John Hawkes and Cynthia Ozick, but hardly any of the authors on the New York Times bestseller list. So is there some sort of pattern we can detect or not?
Well, it's my taste, and that changes as well. But I don't feel forced to own any book. I don't feel forced to read something because I'm told it's a classic or because I hear that it's on the bestseller list. So I let myself be guided by my taste. I'm interested in a title or the cover of a book or something I've heard about the author. And there are books that you buy because the title is so attractive. I bought a book that I loved that has this irresistible title, Dostoevsky Reads Hegel in Siberia and Bursts into Tears. How can you not read a book with that title? The author is Laszlo Foldeny, a Hungarian philosopher, and it's a very, very good book.
Of course. Are there books that you... Have you thought about the books that you don't have, I wonder? And sort of, can you bear that thought?
Well, books that I don't have and that I want to have, you mean?
Yes. Well, no, I'm really... I suppose what I'm trying to probe is what you've passed up. Like you say, you haven't got many spy books. Please don't tell me you haven't read Le Carré.
Oh, yes, I think of him as a great novelist, okay. Not really as a...
So would you have John Grisham, for instance?
No. I'm glad to say that I have no John Grisham in the library. Mark Twain said that a good way of starting a library is leaving out the works of Jane Austen. I would say the same with John Grisham.
Oh, good Lord. Is that what he said about Jane Austen, Mark Twain?
Yes, indeed. But, you know, an intelligent writer and an intelligent reader doesn't mean that the taste of that reader coincides with your own. Tolstoy thought that King Lear was dreadful, and, you know, I would not speak to Tolstoy after that.
You seldom lend a book. Why?
I never lend a book.
Why?
Well, because to lend a book is to tempt the reader with theft. Books are seldom returned, and if I want somebody to read a book, I would buy the book for that person and give it to that person. But I believe in Polonius's advice to his son. I've got it in my library, neither borrower nor lender be.
Okay, another very interesting thing you said, which really rang true for me, I have to say, that your relationship with, even though you're now the director of the National Library of Argentina, that your relationship with public libraries has been rather an odd one. How so?
Well, it's very curious. I'm very attracted to libraries, to the buildings that house the books. And when I'm in a city that I'm not familiar with, the first thing that I do is visit the library. I love libraries, but I can't work in a public library. I love the building, I love the feel, I love the rows of books, but I'm not comfortable working in a library because if I ask for a book and I like it, I want to take it away. And I want to write in the book, which of course is not allowed in a public library. It's too tempting. I want the books that I read to be mine and take them to bed, and you can't do that with books from a public library.
I found that exactly how I feel, and I've never heard anybody express it quite like that before. you also, what was interesting is you contrasted the order of a library and the chaos of the world, and you sort of oscillate between the need for both.
The thing we know about the world, which is the most obvious thing we know about the world, is that it is chaotic, that it has no meaning, that there is no rhyme or reason to everything that surrounds us. There are natural laws, of course, but the story in which we are inserted has no sense. And yet, what we take from the world, our experience of the world, and that experience written out in books constitute a kind of order. It is as if we had different experiences of the world and we try by putting those experiences into some order to give that senseless, chaotic universe an order. And I feel very much when I'm in the library that I'm in an ordered place. And even if the order is arbitrary, whether it is numerical, alphabetical, or even through subjects, there is some feeling that I'm in a place that is coherent and safe.
Alberto Manguel, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.